Proverbs 2:22. This is the last verse of Proverbs chapter 2. This shouldn't take nearly as long as the last one did. So we're right down to the end of chapter 2, which means we are 1/15 and a half done with the Proverbs. So that only took us almost a year to get through the first two chapters, so that means within 15 we should be done with the rest of them, right? That's not too bad. I am going to speed up. You guys would have to listen to a recording of it in the nursing home if I take that long. Yeah. All right, Proverbs 2 and verse 22. Yes, I am going to speed up, especially once I get past the middle of chapter 3. But Proverbs 2:22. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And basically what verse 22 tells us is what we just saw studying verse 21, right? That the Israel would dwell in the land as long as they were perfect and upright and kept God's commandments. But if they didn't, they'd lose the land. And this is exactly what Solomon goes on to say. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And in Israel's case, that's what happened. Especially in 70 AD, about a million of them. A million of them were cut off from the earth. They were killed. And then about another 100,000 were carried captive. So whereas the perfect and upright will dwell and remain in the land of the living, the wicked will be cut off from the earth. And to be cut off means to put to death, suddenly or prematurely, to bring to an untimely end. That's in the definition of cut, and I had to go. Thankfully, it was easy because I have the OED on my computer, and I could just search the phrase cut off. But if I didn't have that, if I would have even thought enough to look down pages of definition, the whole way down to number 56, that's the definition of cut off. So it does often define phrases in there, but kind of hard to find if you didn't have the search function. Thankfully, I did. So anyway, to be cut off means to be put to death. And the Bible uses that term in that way several times. I'll just give you one. We won't look at the other two. But in Genesis 9 and verse 11, this would just be one example how the term cut off means to be killed. And, you know, you can pretty well deduce that, I suppose, because if you cut off your arm or your finger or your leg, what happens to that piece that's cut off? It dies, right? So if you're cut off, you die, right? That makes sense. Like a plant.
I'm not a stem, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. That's right. Genesis 9:11. This is after the flood. And the Lord said, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And the other ones, if you ever need them for some reason, are Exodus 9:15 and Exodus 31:14. The Lord said in Ezekiel 18:4 that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, which should remind us of another passage in the New Testament. Remember, the wages of sin is death, right? So if you sin, you'll die, one way or the other. The Lord might actually physically kill you right immediately, like he did Ananias and Sapphira, or time may just take its toll and we all eventually die that way. And then, of course, there's a death in the lake of fire, and there's spiritual death. There's many different ways that the soul that sinneth shall die. I think it's interesting just to think about it. The righteous dwell on the earth while the wicked dwell in the earth when they are cut off from the earth. Right? We dwell on it. They dwell in it when they're cut off from it. But even the wicked in mercy, God gives a space of repentance before he cuts them off. You remember in the book of Genesis, the Lord said that he would give the land to Abraham's seed many, many years later. But there needed to be there was still some time, like a lot of time, 400 years before that was going to happen, because the people that were living in the land that God was going to give them, the Lord was still giving them time to fill up their cup of iniquity. The Lord is very patient. In this case, 400 years he waited to dispossess these Amorites of their land. Let's read in Genesis 15, 13 through 16. Genesis 15, 13. And said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Part of this 400 years happened in the land of Egypt, but not the whole thing. That doesn't fit if you do the math. Israel spent 215 years in Egypt, and Israel spent the remainder of that time being, you know, not really having their own land, being essentially in bondage. Because if you don't have your own land and you're just kind of nomads, you're under somebody's thumb, and that was the case here. They would be 400 years before they would inherit their land from the time that God told Abraham this. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, talking about Egypt. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Remember that? They borrowed all the gold and the jewels and everything. Borrowed, I say, in quotes. And went out and pillaged the Egyptians. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That's one of the reasons, at least, why God didn't give them the land right away, because the Amorites were going to follow the path that Solomon laid out here in Proverbs chapter 2, and if they were upright and perfect, they would remain in that land, but they weren't. And when the Lord finally had enough of them, after many, many years, and their cup of iniquity was full, they got evicted from their land, just like Solomon said they would. So yeah, we always want to, all of us should remember that, that we all have a cup that our sin gets dumped into. And when it gets full, then God's tired of it and he will judge. So, but we don't know how, I don't think your cup's going to be 400 years like the Amorites was. So we want to keep short accounts with the Lord. And the Lord's patient though. He will dig and dung and try to make that tree grow before he finally cuts it down. Jesus told us that in Luke 13 and verse 9, that when the Lord doesn't see fruit on the tree, and remember, isn't that what we're supposed to produce, right? The fruit of the Spirit, you'll know them by their fruits. When Jesus doesn't see fruit on the tree, he gives you some time, and give you another year or two, as in this case. But then, once he's given you enough time, then it's time to cut it down. Luke 13 and verse 9. I may as well just read verse 6 through 9. It says, and he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? But he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. Interesting. Jesus came on this earth, and he was here for 3.5 years. These 3 years, this thing is not producing fruit. Cut it down. And the dresser says, just give it one more year. He was there for 3.5. Jews had another year. They rejected him. They murdered him. And then the judgment came. But in this case, the Lord, it appears, took the 40 years that he took from them when they wandered in the wilderness and gave him 40 more years. And he stuck 40 years in between that time when Christ came in 70 AD when they were finally destroyed. Like he gave him that, he gave him, he bought him back that time in the land and gave him one more chance for 40 years. And they didn't repent, and then they were cut down. And the same thing can happen to us. Let's read verses 4 through 5. Jesus was speaking to the Jews here. He said, were those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He was speaking to the Jews, but you know what? I mean, it applies to us. If we don't repent, just like the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die, will likewise perish. Okay, so now let's end it with a good note. So Christians who would have length of days and long life and peace, like it says in Proverbs 3:2, and not be cut off from the earth and rooted out of it, Proverbs 2:22, need only to follow Solomon's prescription given in the second chapter of Proverbs to attain it. And I'm just going to read what I have written here. If he will receive God's words and hide his commandments in his heart, incline his ear unto wisdom and apply his heart to understanding, cry after knowledge and lift up his voice for understanding and seek it as silver and search for it as for hid treasures, then he will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, and the Lord will give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding which will keep his paths and preserve his way. That's the first 9 verses. When wisdom is entered into his heart and knowledge is pleasant unto his soul, discretion shall preserve him and understanding will keep him, delivering him from the evil man and the strange woman, leading him to walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, and enabling him to dwell in the land of the living in his uprightness, living an abundant Christian life. And that's verses 10 through 21. So there's Proverbs chapter 2 in a nutshell. And next time we'll move on to Proverbs chapter 3, Lord willing.